This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and our TV program can be viewed on Free Speech TV and on our website. Despite Senate Democrats valiantly holding the floor of the Senate on Monday night to stop the confirmation of billionaire Betsy DeVos as Education Secretary, the Trump nominee was confirmed. But it took a vote by Vice President Mike Pence to break the 50-50 tie. Joining Democrats in opposition to DeVos were two Republican senators, Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins. All that was needed was one more Republican to stop the nomination. But in spite of furious phone calling by public education advocates across the nation, the rest of the GOP held firm. My guest is Kevin Kumashiro, the former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco, a leading expert on educational policy and school reform. He's also the education correspondent for this program. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So last time we had you on, we talked about all of the reasons why Betsy DeVos, and I feel like I should just call her Billionaire Betsy, why Billionaire Betsy was so wrong for the position of Education Secretary. And the Democrats came really close to actually derailing her nomination. That's pretty unprecedented. Do you think that even though she was nominated, that the political theater that played out in the lead up to that was a pretty big show of force?
It was an impressive show of force. I think it's interesting to think about where we go from here. You know, the problem, I think, with the when we look critically at the history of school reforms and how we got here, is that the Democrats have actually been hand in hand with Republicans in bringing us to this point where, for example, both parties have been pushing for privatizing public education. Both parties have been pushing for kind of narrow ways of thinking about school reform with things like high stakes testing and turnaround schools and school closures. So I was looking at this really interesting post earlier today on Facebook from a friend of mine who was saying, you know, now it's interesting because the Democrats are going to be held to task to try to differentiate how DeVos wants to move us forward and how they've been putting forward education policies that in some ways don't look all that differently than what she's calling for, such as around privatization and around kind of marketizing the public school system.
Right. So this fight itself has put Democrats in opposition to many of the same policies that some of them had championed.
Exactly. So now it's kind of a great moment to hold accountable our leaders and say, well, where are you going to stand on public education? What are you willing to fight for? And what are you also willing to acknowledge was an error in how we've been moving forward, including how many of you have been moving us forward at the federal level?
So Senate Democrats basically stayed on the floor of the Senate all night, Monday night. So that was a personal sacrifice. They spoke out forcefully and attempted a 24-hour marathon filibuster. What was interesting was that there was strong unity among Democrats, and then ordinary Americans, through the intense phone calling and activism that they engaged in, actually managed to push two Republican senators to join with the Democrats, which was pretty remarkable. I don't think we've seen a 50-50 split on the Senate for a long time on a major issue, at least since the Republicans have controlled the Senate, have we?
Yeah, it certainly is a historic move for such a split on a presidential candidate, I mean a cabinet nomination. I think it's unfortunate in some ways, right, that the two Republicans who were in the Senate Help Committee, the committee that was doing the confirmation hearing, didn't actually vote no in the confirmation process when it was still in committee, because that actually would have prevented it from coming to the Senate floor, right?
I
also think it's interesting, as you said, that this nomination has gotten so much of the public involved. And I think that if we have to look for a silver lining, one of the silver linings is that education, public education in this country won't get better. It will never really kind of live up to the ideals of our democratic nation until the public kind of takes ownership and insists on moving us forward in a different direction. Had we sort of seen, you know, many of us say that, again, silver lining with the Trump election is that it is galvanizing the public in a way that we probably wouldn't have seen had Hillary Clinton won. And yet, we still need a public, we still need social movements to be pushing for social justice, no matter who's in that office, whether it's Trump or Clinton or Obama or whatever. And why that's so important right now is because let's remind ourselves that although the federal government has a lot of sway over education, it is only about 10% of education budgets, right, across the country. And yet, what is it? Well over 80% of the American population does attend neighborhood public schools. This is a time when a lot of decision making, from the reauthorization of the big federal education law that happened just a few months ago, to now the call by many Republicans, the ongoing call that has been happening for decades to actually weaken the federal government. This is a moment when a lot of decision-making will be more so happening at the state and local level. And this is precisely where a lot of really powerful grassroots organizing happens and needs to continue to happen. So I think that, you know, this is a moment that reminds us that we need to take ownership, and where we have leverage is not only at the federal level, but also at the state and local level, which is going to have much more decision-making authority in the years to come.
Now, Kevin, a lot of education advocates so disappointed with what has happened with Betsy DeVos. I've noticed, for example, on my Facebook feed, people making jokes about getting your kid some homeschooling, you know, or maybe trying to scrounge up the money for private schools. But of course, that's not the solution, right? I mean, we all do pay for public education through our taxes.
Yeah, exactly. This is not a moment to abandon public education. Public education, from its very beginnings, has been a site of struggle. It's been one of the places where we as a nation struggle to define who we are and what values will prevail. And this is a moment, as with any point in time in history, where we have an opportunity. It is a challenge, but it's also an opportunity to say, how do we step up? How do we hold our leaders accountable? How do we as the public become much more involved to shape what public education can look like? I absolutely think that these next 4 years will be very challenging, but there's already so much hope to be seen in the incredible organizing that's happening, and this is the movement that we need to build on.
By the way, just hours after the Senate voted to confirm Betsy DeVos, or I should say just hours after the vice president was forced to cast a vote to break the tie for Betsy DeVos, which I don't think has happened in a long time, House Republican introduced into the House a bill to abolish the Department of Education. I don't know how far that'll go, but these days, you know, I don't think you can say with any confidence that something would never happen because it's too ludicrous. But this is the kind of thing that the Republicans have been doing for a long time, right? I mean, they've done it with the EPA, that you basically trash a department, put someone in charge of it that's against that department, and essentially try to completely do away with the department altogether. I mean, what do they mean by how do you abolish the Department of Education?
It's a great question. I mean, you know, there are people who oppose the formation of a standalone Department of Education when that happened in 1979. A lot of people are very aware that public education in this country is estimated to be a $600 billion a year domestic enterprise. There's massive profit to be made in public education, but it's also a massive investment by the public sector. And this is why I think it's worth reminding ourselves that public education shouldn't be treated as a commodity where those who have the resources can get the best. Public education we need to reframe the debate so that we see public education as a public good, as an investment by the country in its future. And speaking of the future, I would say not only soon after the confirmation did we see that bill get introduced, we also, soon after the tie-breaking vote cast by Vice President Pence, we also saw a walkout of hundreds of students in New York City who were protesting the confirmation of Betsy DeVos. These are young people who are very well aware of the problematic policies already happening and how her administration promises to continue to take us down that really problematic level. Lots of bad things, but also lots of really exciting things happening. And I hope to see many more such actions in the days and weeks to come.
Well, Kevin, thank you so much for helping shed some light on what is to come and give us some ideas on that note. By the way, Mike Pence actually became the first vice president in history to have to break a tie on a cabinet nominee. It's also the first time since 2008 that a VP has had to use that vote tie-breaking vote at all on any issue. So certainly there was a strong fight that went down. Kevin, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Kumashiro is the former dean of the School of Education at the University of San Francisco and a leading expert on educational policy and the education correspondent for this program. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can find our interviews online at risingupwithsonali.com and subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.